The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast. Today, it's Saturday morning, May the 20th. We are live. As always, we are live here on Saturday mornings. We always encourage you to join us by calling at 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad, and we can see you on the switchboard. I'd like to thank you for the brothers who've called in already and those who've been listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, you know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we just take the opportunity to be able to share, speak about the things of God as men of God, but the issues that we deal with, some, you know, within our spiritual growth and also who we are to be leaders in the church, in the home, and in the community, for men just to walk in their God-given place and responsibility and encourage those, no matter how long you've been in the faith, to continue to encourage one another. We have a passion here at Issues Christian Men's Talk for men's ministry, for a time when men of God come together to encourage each other, hold each other accountable, to challenge each other, support one another as we walk through this Christian, this life here on earth, to be the church and to be in our place. You know, the old saying about women, that the church is led and filled with women. You know, I think that's a lie, but, you know, I get in trouble for that a lot. However, wherever you are, we spoke about this in our last episode, wherever you are in your church, are you involved with the church or are you just taking up space in a pew? Because you can't lead. You have to get to the place where we are maturing in our faith, we're becoming co-laborers, we're becoming taking our place as in the body of Christ, to just be men. We need some manhood in the body of Christ that we can move forward, you know, and also to be able to encourage one another, you know, for the least of these. Just think about those brothers that you know who are on the fence, on the line, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, even those who are in the faith who struggle with life's issues, who we maybe even come alongside and help. And that's what we believe men's ministry, why men's ministry is so important. Amen? Amen. So we're going to open with prayer. We have a couple of announcements. We're going to jump right to the program and to the discussion today. We're going to be talking about, we're continuing our discussion on Watchmen on the Walls. This was birthed out of a devotional, which I shared with a couple of brothers. And then I invited some brothers to come on and discuss the devotional. It was a it was a five-day devotional that we were going through on the Bible.com app. It's one of those devotional plans that were on there. And so we was going through that, and then we took opportunity today and this morning to be able to discuss it and the insights. Because, you know, as I always say, we all read scripture. We all go to be, we're all at services and hear a sermon, but each of us hear and receive something different. So here at Israel's Christian Men's Talk, we want to come in and share what our insights were that another brother may not have seen that might enlighten him for a better understanding of the scripture, of the topic, or even in this devotional. Amen? And that's the whole premise behind the importance of men's ministry, that we all can grow, support, encourage, and challenge each other. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm open with prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation. Again, if you've called in at 646-668-2636, please press 1 on your keypad. Let me know you're ready to join the discussion. You want to share some insight or wisdom on what we're talking about today so we can see you on the switchboard and bring you in. Amen? Amen. Father God, first of all, I just want to say thank you. Father, I thank you for a new day, Lord God. Father, today as God, we sat and watched the sunrise one more time, Lord God, here on earth. I thank you, God, for the salvation of my soul. I thank you for the blessings that you've given me in my life. I thank you for my family, my children, grandchildren, God. Father, I thank you for my brothers in Christ today, oh God, and for their families, their wives, their marriages, their children, those that they're connected to by spirit and by blood. Hey, Father, I just say thank you. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us, God, that helps us to be able to grow and come into the knowledge of you, that we might fulfill your purpose and plan and your will on the earth today, oh God. That, God, today you would guide them, oh God. Father, we pray for the man, oh God, who's struggling today, who may be struggling through emotional, physical, spiritual, financial issues of life, Lord God. Father, give him the wisdom, God. Speak into his heart through your spirit and through your people, Lord God, that he might be encouraged and strengthened. So, Father, I thank you right now, Lord God. Continue to bless us, keep us, and watch over us. Father, we lift up this government. We lift up the persecuted church today, Lord God. You know the needs all over the world, God, for those who are called by your name, Lord God, those who have faith in your son, Jesus Christ. You know the needs and struggles. You know those that are being persecuted just for the name of Jesus. Today we say, God, help them, strengthen them, keep them. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. We have a couple of announcements here I'm going to share. As always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, if you have any men's group, men's Bible study, men's fellowships, men's events that you're coming up, you can always text them to me, give me a call. We'll post them on our Facebook page. We'll give time here to share it on our show. And I broadcast the episodes because we text out these episode links and they're also posted on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. So first I'm going to share Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. On June the 3rd, they're having a men's breakfast. As a matter of fact, they're doing three breakfasts. They call it the Men's Summer Breakfast Series. And they're going to be on June the 3rd, July the 8th, and August the 5th. The first one coming up close and nearby is June the 3rd. The topic is going to be friendships. The response at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. They ask for $10 donations, and you bring some young brothers under 10. They eat for free so they can get a plate. Amen. So we encourage you for that. Again, that's the first one that's coming up is on June the 3rd. The topic of discussion is going to be friendships. July the 8th, masculinity. August the 5th, authenticity. So we want to just continue to let you know about that. You can go on their website. It's Grace Community Church. in Fulton, Maryland. Yeah, so it's gracecommunitychurch.org, and then you see the link for the men's ministry there. Amen. Also, first Saturday of every month, Church of Redeeming the Lord in Baltimore City, Old York Road. They gather there every first Saturday at 10 a.m. for men's Bible study and time of fellowship. That's when they come together. They also have a plan for August. They're going to have a men's weekend, a Friday. I think it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're doing a men's service. And I do believe it's the second weekend in August, but I wait to hear back from Elder Rondell about the details for that. But I know they do it every year in August, and to be part of that. Amen. So that's Church of the Redeemer of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland, every first Saturday, men's fellowship and gathering. Amen. Amen. Okay, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, also we have put together a list of summer reading lists. As always, we want to encourage spiritual growth, understanding of the Word of God, and spending time in the study of the Word of God. And in that, we begin with, we encourage every brother out there, every man under the sound of my voice. What type of study Bible are you using? How are you studying the Word of God? The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved. And we encourage you, go to your pastor, your elders, talk to your brothers, see you've got if you don't have a study Bible, I encourage you to get a study Bible. The notes, the commentary, the insights, it can be useful. You know, I personally have a Railway Study Bible, and I also have a Thompson Chain Reference on my shelf. That's just one of the tools that I use but I encourage you. You know, good growth comes. I say it like this. We have a greater opportunity to study individually to gain the insight and knowledge that when we can grow in the understanding of his word and study Bible, you know, between the Holy Spirit and the word, we are able to grow. But I encourage every brother. Amen. So with the summer reading, we're saying that the summer reading list that we have for this summer, this is just the beginning. I mean, there's about four or five. I might add some more as I've seen them. And I check my bookshelf, some stuff I might want to get off my shelf and give away. So I might add it to the list. Amen. A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines by Patrick Morley. Patrick Morley, Morley. A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines. The second book is The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. And if you don't have a pencil or paper, which you can always go back and listen to the rebroadcast of the show, check the link. Again, go to the Facebook page. A lot of these books are on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you can catch up with them there. The third book, The Westminster Short Catechism. That is a catechism, for some people may not be familiar, but catechism is a series of, Westminster, I think it's like the 1700s, 1600s. They put together a catechism of questions and answers to teach biblical principles. Initially, it was used to teach children. There was over like 150 questions, and that's what they would use for their youth department in children's church. I know we do some stuff now in children's church, and you know, but they had a catechism where they would question the children, give the children's answer, and that's how they would learn it at that young age. But now, I say, because I look at it and read it myself, and some adults need to read this. Amen. But anyway, it's questions and answers on the basic principles, understanding of the gospel, on what the doctrines and the theology of the gospel, and also has scripture references for all the answers. So we encourage you to get that. Also, I'll say this to you. I've seen it on Amazon. The paperback version is only about $6, but they have a hardcover one that's about another $15. But it is a very useful tool and for quick reference and referral, because we always have to strengthen our foundation on who we are in Christ. The next book is going to be The Gospel of Jesus Christ by Paul Washer. He wrote a book. It's a small pamphlet book. It's about, I think it's about 15, 20 pages. And he speaks about a deep dive into what the gospel is. I know we may all have a medium superficial or knowledge of the gospel, but he takes and breaks down the importance and the significance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, the punishment, and all of it, and the cross, and he breaks it down. I read it myself, and like I say, sometimes as we grow, we have to reinforce our foundations that we can go high, because the gospel is the message we are called to bring to the world. We do a lot of things under the name of the church and ministry, but the gospel is what's going to save lives. People will come to faith, that they won't have to stand under the wrath of God when the time comes. Amen. The next book is Building an Effective Prayer Life. That's by a local pastor here, Pastor Antonio Palmer. His book is also on Amazon. It's Building an Effective Prayer Life, and that's on our list. And I'm coming back around to reference materials I like to share with the brothers. Again, I've learned over the years sometimes, depending where people, you know, come to faith, where they're growing, they're not given this information. I used to take it for granted that everybody knew about the Vines Bible Dictionary and the Strong Concordance. So if this is the first time you're hearing it or you understand what it is, check your other brothers. See if they have their own copy. Because the Vines Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, is very helpful, again, about understanding the word for a deeper understanding and a deeper knowledge. Because as men, how can we lead and guide, and we're not in that place? And the Strong's Concordance, for concordance, it has the King James reference concordance as every word in the Bible. It defines every word, the Greek, the Hebrew, and then it shows you where it's all used, the pretense, pretense, adjectives, verbs, nouns, all that. It gives you all that. So in context, you can have an understanding of Scripture. So we encourage that for every brother, because you have to start somewhere. And if we are to grow, to be co-laborers, to mature in these things with God, we have to mature in understanding and application of the word. Amen? Amen. That's the end of our commercial our commercial opening. Amen. So we're going to go right into the discussion today. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad. I can bring you in. I see my regular brothers here, so I'm going to get you all up and going. And for anybody else, if you just called in to listen, that's okay. But if you want to join, please hit one on your keypad so I can recognize that you're there. Praise the Lord. Pastor Larry Watkins, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Deacon Farr. I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Another day in paradise. Oh, well, yeah, that's it. Another day in paradise, because you know me. I'm all happy, married, and everything. So I'm good. Pastor, we got another brother joining today. Pastor Frederick Williams, can you hear me, sir? Good morning. Uh-oh, we lost it. Hello. Can you hear me, sir? Uh-oh. All right. Let me see. Hopefully if something happened. I don't know if it's me or him. But amen. We're going to go and we're going to wait a minute. Where am I at? Wait a minute. That's me. It's me. Hold on, brother. Hold on. I'm sorry. I see you. Pastor Williams, how are you, sir? Can you hear me now?
I am doing well and yourself. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you now. That was my fault. My bad.
All right.
I'm working. I'm running the switchboard. I'm looking at one thing and clicking another. Amen. Amen.
I understand how that works. Been there.
Yes, sir. Amen. So, Pastor Walker, let me start with you, sir. When we're talking about today, the devotion is watching on the wall. This is part two. And we're going to start at day number three, and it talked about humility. And it gave the example of the children of Israel and their first victory after Jericho when they were at Ai and what happened there. So tell us, after that, what do you think, sir? I'm going to kick it off with you, sir.
Well, when I was reading this, it brought the story of what happened at Ai back to mind. And it all brought it back to the fact that one person, one member of a particular tribe decided that he wanted to keep some stuff for himself. In essence, he felt like he deserved it. He had gone through the battle. He had done everything else everybody else had done. And his pride got to him, saying that, why can't I have what I want? And when we get to this mindset of why can't I have what I want, then we forget about everybody else that is tied to us and tied through us. And it causes now those repercussions from whatever happens to happen to those people. And when we get caught up in our own pride, in our own ways. We forget about everybody else that's around us. We forget about what the consequences are. We forget about how to pull everything together. And this particular man caused them to lose the battle of Ai just because of his own pride, because he wanted to keep some of this stuff for himself. You know, and as men, how much stuff do we want to keep for ourselves? How much stuff do we want to do? We want our man cave. We want, you know, our football on Sunday. We want all of these things. But a lot of the things that we want is tied up into our own pride. You know, we want the big chair, the big piece of chicken. We want all these things that sometimes is tied up into our pride, because this is what my daddy got, or this is how my daddy did things, or this is how, you know, these are the things that I saw other men doing. But most of it is caught up in our own pride, and we don't realize the repercussions of our actions when we get caught up in our own issues, in our own bravado, in our own things that we want just because we want them. And when you say it like that, it sounds almost like we're a petulant child, that I want what I want when I want it. But most of the time, it's just us being caught up in our own pride. And in doing this, we have to realize that there are other people tied into us. There are other people that are connected to us. And when we go with those repercussions, when we deal with the consequences of our actions, it affects more than us, and it affects them. What do you think, sir?
Hey, man, I agree. I know, as we read that story in Joshua, but it talks about that. It's right. There's a lot of things that happen there because of one man's failure. Pastor Williams, what do you say, sir? The importance of how pride and us dealing with our own humility, we have to be mindful. It brings us to a place where we're living in disobedience.
I would agree with the pastor and saying that there's a level of selfishness. As I, you know, listened to the devotion, a couple things that stood out is this selfishness or a means of wanting of ownership or reward, in the sense of the day prior, the walls of Jericho came down. You know, they obey God, the walls of Jericho come down. And after they come down, there is a part of us humanly that we celebrate in the victory of the accomplishment of God bringing us out or bringing us through and allowing us to overcome things. And as I listened to the devotion for this one, it stood out with me was many times God brings us through things, and it's not on our own accord. And out of the victory, we want to walk away with something. There's something that, especially men, you know, we can challenge each other. We look at sports. There's a victory, you know, there's a reward, or there's a medal, you know, first place, second place, third place. There's something for us that we look to gain out of it. And there are times where it's publicly. I took a note on this, and with AI, with Aiken, he didn't publicly do this. He tried to hide it and keep it. And the Lord revealed it to show that he was hiding it. And I thought about us as individuals, sometimes as men, is there are many times that we will do things. There are successes in our marriage. There are successes with us in our family, with our children, as sons, as brothers, as leaders in the church. There are things that are a lot of public victories, and then there's private victories. And there are times where I personally have taken and wanted to hold on to some things, and even when the Spirit of the Lord says, let that go. And it doesn't have to be a symbol, or it hasn't been a symbol of something, but maybe there was something that God wanted to break, or God wanted to move into my life. But, you know, many times when God is moving something into our lives, you have to let go of something. My last note of that is many times, especially when you look at this point with Aiken, and they're losing the battle to Ai, was just pure disobedience. It's a small thing. Some things are small, some things are great, but a manner of disobedience and not being humble it was the will of God that they, the walls of Jericho came down, and they had the ability to actually win in the battle at Ai. So they lost it for disobedience. And, I've often taken the time to reflect this. How often as men have we not been humble enough to allow God to bring the victory, and we ourselves not count it as that we can do it alone? So what do you say about that, sir?
Amen, amen. So you're right. And again, you'd be surprised. And I want to come back around because I was talking about the repercussions. When I read this story, it reminded me of, when I read the scripture, a lot of things happened there because of their disobedience and a lot of, collateral damage. Amen. But let me go real quick. Brother, your number is 4182, your last four numbers. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Deacon Clark.
Good morning. Who's this?
My name is Reverend Richard Thorne, Jr. I'm Associate Pastor at Collective Christian Ministries.
Hey, man. Well, brothers, I appreciate you calling in. What would you like to share about what we talk about today?
Well, one of the things that I've taken note of recently, I'll say, is how this culture here kind of breeds that kind of selfishness. The culture that exists in America, it breeds egotism. And so I think men have to be conscious of doing things God's way and not so much the world's way. Because when you do things the world's way, it's going to just lead you down a dark rabbit hole. And some of the issues that we're dealing with, that if we were more obedient to the word, as illustrated in that story in the Bible, we were more obedient to the word and follow the commands of our Father in heaven. Some of these things, the situations wouldn't exist. There was a lot of collateral damage over that one gentleman being selfish, over that one gentleman wanting things for himself. It cost him his whole family. So here his action resulted in his family suffering, and they had nothing to do with it. They had nothing with the decisions he made. Amen, and thank you.
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. That's one of the things I was going to talk about, because the collateral damage there of his family, again, as men, we have a responsibility. I believe in our previous program, we talked about we have a responsibility for those that God has put under our care and under our covering. And that's what we always have to look at, that God has put men in a place to lead and guide and direct and encourage and disciple and mentor. So the things that we do in our life, our disobedience will reflect back. Because as the pastor was sharing, and you're right, Achan, it was one of the things of collateral damage that I wanted to point about and bring about. But also, even in the battle, when they went to Ai and they lost and they had to retreat, they lost 36 men. So imagine how your decision would affect the lives of 36 men that you know because of your bad decision, your bad choice, your pride, you doing something for self-satisfaction. But the repercussions will affect, the people around you. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to be considered about. And when we talk about being humility and not let our pride, and let me say this, because we'll come to you, Pastor Larry. Pride is a launching point. Because once you get into your pride, it moves into anger. It moves into selfishness. It moves into contempt. It sets off a lot of other things. Because once you feel like you, quote unquote, we all heard this before in the streets, once you feel like you disrespected, you trying to do something to gain your respect. It may be stupid, it may be whatever, but you trying to get back to a place where I don't want to be seen as weak, I don't want to be seen as a sissy, a punk, disrespected, because if I can let this one get away with it, then somebody else going to come at me, all yada, yada, yada. I mean, I could go down that path, but I ain't been saved my whole life. But however, Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir? Help me, catch me so I don't go off the cliff.
Well, what happens is once you get caught up in pride, it then leads to your ego and this persona of who you think you are and who others perceive you as who you are. Once I'm caught up in my pride, if my ego has now been bruised, then now I gotta save face. I gotta make sure that I'm not viewed in the wrong manner. I'm not portrayed as something that I don't want to be portrayed as. I can't be seen as weak. I can't be seen as vulnerable. I can't be seen as having a chink in my armor. And this still all feeds into my pride because my pride says, this is how I look. This is how others see me. This is how I want them to think of me. And instead of dealing with the reality of the situation is that we all have flaws. We all have issues. We all have areas in our lives where we fall short. But our pride doesn't want those areas to show. So we put on this persona. We put on this bravado, this machismo, whatever you want to call it, man, to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, all because of our own pride. You know, because of this one man's pride, not only did he humiliate himself, but he humiliated his family, and he humiliated all of those that were around him. He had to be paraded in front of everybody. The Bible says that he had to be paraded because they had to walk each family by in front of Joshua, in front of the leaders, for God to judge which one was right. So now he's opening up his family to embarrassment. He's opening himself up to embarrassment. He's opening up everything that he has to scrutiny, all because he wanted to make sure that he maintained his own level of pride and ego. This is what messes us up as men, because we refuse to let the chinks in our armor show. Now, I'm not saying that you have to show it to everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that we have to realize as men that we have issues, we have shortcomings, we have things that we're not good at, we have things that we need help with. And there's nothing wrong with crying out and saying, I need help. There's nothing wrong with saying, okay, I messed up. There's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, I made a bad decision on this one. But because of our ego, we don't allow ourselves to make those bad decisions or make those decisions. And because of that, we harm ourselves. We put ourselves in scrutiny that we don't deserve. We put ourselves in places where it embarrasses our family. And it's all because of our pride that leads to our ego, that leads to the perception of ourselves, that we don't want other people to see us as weak. And we have to get over that and realize that we have our issues, but we have to also know that there are others that can help us with our issues. This is where the concept of iron sharpening iron comes in, because we allow somebody else to come in and help us to deal with the areas that we know that we need help in. What do you think, sir?
Amen. I believe that's part of it, and that's part of accountability one to another. And I hear what you're saying, because I think transparency, I think, is the enemy of pride, you know, because we have to be mindful of how we're living, what people see in us, and the things that we're doing, especially the things that we're doing we think nobody knows about. I think that's the biggest thing when I look at what Achan did. You know, he thought he did something, got away with it, and it wouldn't affect nobody else because he hid that thing. He got away with it. Because he saw the treasure, and he said, you know what, I can get this treasure, I can just keep it for my family, and I'll be okay, and no one will ever know. But we'd be surprised the things that we do when they come to light, and the consequences because our pride, greed, disobedience, we think we can get away with something. And that's something we always talk about. I know we hear pastors preach on that thing all the time. God sees everything. He sees the things you do. He sees the things you think about doing. And he sees your heart, where your heart has that chink in your armor, that weak spot, that if the enemy poked that area of your heart, you'll go left on God. And again, every man has his limits. But also, brothers, I do want to share this issue, Christian's talk. As we discuss these things, I don't want you to think that any of the brothers here on the discussion panel think that they have achieved or are on a pedestal. But what we're doing is able to speak about these things that may hopefully encourage you or think about your situation and how you're handling the things of God in your life, because we all have challenges every day. But are we trusting God? Are we depending on God? And who are the men in our circle of influence who we can go to help us through the issues of life, that we don't make these mistakes? We don't let our pride and our anger and all these things manifest itself to the place where now we're out of God's will. Amen. Pastor Williams, I'm going to come to you, sir. We're talking about, how we were acting our own power sometimes, and we step away, and somehow we quench the spirit of God in some of the decisions we make. We choose to go to make the wrong choice. And we don't take time out to seek God's counsel on these things. What do you say, sir?
Well, I say the question comes to mind is, what do we feel threatened by? What's the threat? What's the harm? What's challenged? What are we afraid of? Well, the Bible says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. You know, as a man, a lot of times I feel like we feel threatened. We don't articulate. Maybe we don't communicate that as much or as often as we need. We don't have quorums or maybe an outlet such as this. Or come together of brothers to be able to hear other men that are challenged and are going through. You know, when I think of the story here and we're talking about Achan, I just wondered, what was he threatened by? What was life like before he made this choice? Yep, they had a victory and, you know, prior, but in this instance, what was the need to take? The thought came to mind is, you know, because I've experienced, and I feel like other brothers have experienced low parts of life where there was a lack or there was a need. And it's sort of like money comes to mind, you or a hoarder comes to mind. The things that we have not had at one point in life, we tend to start holding on to them. And then when it's time to let them go, we have all these memories and reluctance of why we don't want to let it go or what if this happens in the future. And, if I could just be in Achan's shoes for a moment, I would think, you know, if I was one of a family that I really couldn't provide for my family and I had the opportunity to have something, can I just hold on to this and store it up? Maybe when we get to another land or we get to a place, I can sell these goods and make money and take care of my family. Not all decisions that are made by us as men are of ill intent. We have a good intent, but it's against godly ways. And I'll say it again, a good intent, but it's not God's way. I want to provide for my family every day. I want to make sure that they're in want for nothing. But life has it is there's ups and downs, and sometimes we want or we may fall in a situation. We all have the ability to walk into a store today and take something out of it and think that no one sees it, but God sees it. And regardless if he, you know, we suffer the consequences now or later, I think it's ironic, well, not necessarily ironic, but it's important to take notice that God didn't necessarily use one man to call him out. Like Pastor Watkins said, Achan's family had to come, and God spoke. He said, okay, it's this tribe, and then it was down to the families from the tribe, and then who in the family. Like God made it go all the way down and pointed out Achan, and then the consequence came to him and everyone else around him. To be transparent, like Deacon Farr said, is there was a moment, and I'll share just briefly, maybe less than 30 seconds, is I made some mistakes in my adolescent years that I didn't address, didn't bring to light, wasn't willing because of a level of pride, didn't want to be embarrassed, didn't want it to become open. And, you know, years into my marriage, a discussion came up, and it finally had, you know, I finally was at a place where I had to communicate it. And let me tell you, it destroyed relationships. I'm still married, didn't destroy our marriage, but it broke some challenges there. And I had to, you know, think about that. There was a level of pride that had to be broken down. And the last part that I would say to this is in humility and pride, a lot of times that pride and ego is some type of character flaw. Rather, we learned, if learned behavior or not, we fall into a category. If we're not feeling threatened, there's a character flaw, maybe by something that we've developed on our own or from our environment, our community, our church, or our family. So that would be my take on what you asked.
Amen. Amen, sir. Amen. You're listening to It's Christian Men's Talk with Deacon Thomas Farr, and today we're talking about the Watchmen on the Walls. We've had a discussion about a day of devotional that was covered at the Bible.com website. And we're talking about disobedience to God and pride, and our own self pride that leads us to destruction. And we were talking about the story of Achan because it talked about humility and how that affected those around him, his family. And I like what you said, Pastor Williams, because, you know, you're right. God took his whole tribe and his family. So his father's, his whole family had to come until God broke it down to him. But it exposed his whole tribe. It embarrassed them. I mean, those are the repercussions in your bloodline. We have to think of that now for us, our bloodline, you know, who our father's father, you know, some of us, we all come from somewhere, you know, and you know, unfortunately, you know, everybody, the bloodline trace and what your grandfather did and your father's father did and what the struggles he went through, you may or may not know. But now us as men of God from this generation moving forward, because I say this a lot. A lot of us are the Abrahams in our bloodline, you know. And so moving forward, what are we as men of God sending down the bloodline going past us? Because we know whatever was behind us, those consequences, those things, those choices that were made, some of it helps to develop who we are. You know, but now, what are we sending down the bloodline? That's a lot of things that, because I talk to a lot of men, we talk about, you know, the struggles that they had in their teens and childhood and their home life or growing up. But now, with God, with the Holy Spirit within you and what you know about the Word of God and who God is and how God created us to be, now you can make a difference moving forward for your children and your children's children. Amen. So it is about legacy, but if you have that legacy, sometimes some things have to be broken. I'm not going to call it generational curses because that's a whole other show. But if you are now a man of God, you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, starting here, I say it again, if you are Abraham in your family bloodline, everybody moving forward should know God, should know Jesus Christ. To your children, if you're blessed to live long enough, for your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, that those seeds are planted, that your legacy is they're spoken of you, of who you are and how you live. These are the opportunities we have. Amen? So I just want to encourage that, because we don't want to be the Achan. Because remember, after Achan and his family, his bloodline was cut off out of Israel. They were done. And it was hardcore because they stoned them and then burned everything. So there ain't nothing left. I'm saying that's some hardcore right there, but amen. But again, this is what we should learn from Scripture, what God can do, and is willing to do to protect his word, protect the character and the legacy of in simple disobedience. But now, because we're under grace, and I think that's the struggle for us in the body of Christ today, we take grace for granted, and we should not. Amen? We should not take grace for granted because there is and will be repercussions for those things. Amen? Amen. Oh, man, I think I lost him. Oh, there he is. Pastor, are you still there with us? 4182? I forgot your first name. I got you down as Pastor on my paper here. Amen, sir. What would you say, sir? What was your first name again?
Richard.
Oh, Richard. Pastor Richard. Okay, Pastor Richard, what do you say, sir?
First, I agree with everything that the other panelists spoke on. But, and I hope I'm not taking an incorrect left turn, but just imagine living in a land where a politician can say that he can grab a woman or treat her any kind of way, and there's no reaction. There's no,
that is, well, hold on. You know, you are correct. You are going a different way. But we're not talking about people. We're talking about men of God and who we are, because we can't control the actions of others. Remember, we're living in a sinful and fallen world, and sinners are going to do what sinners do. I want to talk about the men of God, how you live your life before people and in your home and your family. We don't talk outside. I can't control another man's actions or behaviors. I can only set the standard for my house, and I can hold my brothers in Christ accountable. Amen? So, you know, that's the thing what I do here is just Christian Men's Talk. I want to talk to a brother who needs to hear that he can do better, be better, and moving forward from this day with repentance and obedience, and he can be a different man. I can't criticize a sinner for being a sinner. Sinners do better jobs as being sinners than we do as being Christians, the truth be told. Mm. And, bro, let me say something to you, another thing. I ain't always been saved. So touching a woman, I'm not shocked by that, okay? Amen. Let me bring another brother in. 5381, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Deacon Farr. How you doing, sir? Pastor Larry, Pastor Williams, a blessing to speak with all you gentlemen, powerhouses as you are.
Amen.
I just, as I was listening, I just, the word decision just sticks in my mind. And I think about, you know, as men of God, you know, we were in a place, however our life was before we came to the realization of who God is and that we belong to God. Our decisions were somewhat, were selfish. And I'm going to speak from transparency. Mine were. My decisions were about self-gratification. But we have to think now as men of God, our decisions not only affect, and just as we're hearing in this story, with Achan, his decision affected his entire bloodline. We have to think when we're going through the day, you got to take the time to think about when you're making a decision to do something, when you're making a decision to act in a certain manner, how is that not only going to affect me, but how's that going to affect my wife? How's that going to affect my kids? How's that going to affect my grandkids? How does that represent my family? You know, we can't just be willy-nilly with our decisions and react in a macho way that says, I gotta save face, and I gotta jump up and throw my fists up, or I gotta pull a gun, or I've gotta fuss and fight and argue. Sometimes we have to realize that the best decision is the one that's thought out, not the first reaction. And as men of the world, sometimes that is our decision making process. Whatever's the first reaction, whatever the immediate reaction is the reaction we go with. That's our judgment call. It's the first thing that comes to mind, whether it be we blow up and fall off the handle or we do something that we know is totally wrong. But because it was the first decision, that's what we go with. I think we have to spend the time and take the time to just think out our decisions. And sometimes when we're in a situation where we're in a position of fear, it's hard to think about what you need to do, and we react. But when we become grounded in God, when we become grounded in the Word, we're not reacting in the spirit of fear. We're now reacting from the Spirit of God within us that's leading us in our decisions, that's leading us with a revelation so that our decisions are made with discernment. So when we lean upon God, not our own understanding, when we get a relationship with God, those fight or flight moments become the position where we can think about what we need to do and how we should react so that not only we are judged, that our family is considered in our situation, our children, our friends, those around us. I mean, who wants to be the one that makes the decision that you got to think about later and says, man, what did this do to my grandson? Or what did this do to my daughter? Or what did this do to my wife? We all have to be in that place where we think a little different and make our decisions on the basis of who else is this affecting and let go of the self-gratification and think about the long run, what it'll do for everybody around me and the blessing or the truth that it will bring. That's all I wanted to share.
Amen, brother. Amen. And that's a good segue, because now it talks about in day 5 of the devotional, he touched on prayer. He said prayer is the real battle. And are we in prayer before we make those decisions? Are we seeking God to avoid a place where we're not quenching the spirit within us, that we're praying that we can get guidance and direction from God? He talks about, and I'm going to read real quick from the devotional, then I'm going to come to you, Pastor Watkins. You know, if we obey him and we depend on him and we ask him to help us do things that he has instructed us to do, then I think we can expect a windfall of answered prayers. And it says that we, our biggest asset as a guardian, as an overseer, as a protector of our family, as leaders in the home, the church, the community, our biggest weapon is prayer. If we stay prayed up before we make these decisions, it'll stop us from making these decisions, because I believe that prayer will keep us in the will of God and all these things. Because something I say this a lot, you know, life comes at you. You can't always get ready. You got to be ready. Amen. Pastor Watkins, what do you say?
I say that the biggest weapon that any man has in his arsenal is his ability to pray. It's his go-to weapon. More than his strength, more than his fists, more than his intelligence, more than his bravado, more than anything else, is his ability to pray. Because when he goes down on one knee, I remember, when you watch boxing, you see a fighter get hit and he takes a knee. And that indicates that he's wounded or that he's hurt, and that he's taking a minute to collect himself. But as Christians, when we go down on one knee, we are calling for help. We're calling for assistance. We're reaching out to God to get answers to questions, to get wisdom, to get knowledge, to get understanding, to find out, God, how do I deal with this situation? How do I handle this? And a man that has the ability to pray and to seek God in those moments has a strength that is undeniable. It's a strength that can move mountains. It's a strength that can overcome the issues, not because he's able to power his way through, but because he was able to obtain wisdom. Edward Lewis Cole wrote in one of his books, he says, we always ask God for the answer or how to figure out a problem. He said, what we should be praying for is that we can obtain the wisdom to get the plan that we can overcome this issue. And when we go down and pray and ask God for some wisdom, ask God for some strategies, ask God for a plan, then we're asking the one who knows all and sees all and has all power and has put us in our situation and has seen our end from our beginning and knows how we're going to come out of this, for the wisdom to get through it, not only to come out successful, but to come out with the right outcome that we need. And then that can only be done by going down in prayer and saying, God, I need your help. God, I need you to move. And God, I need you to do this. I once told a story, a friend of mine whose wife was going into labor, and there was problems with the labor. And the only prayer that he could muster is, God, I need you to do some God stuff. But at that moment, that was the prayer that he needed that helped his wife get through that pregnancy and have a healthy child. Prayer is the strength of a Christian man, because it allows us to pull on that all-magnificent, all-powerful God that has the answers, that has the wisdom, that has the knowledge to get us through those situations. And we need to lean on prayer more than we lean on our own understanding. And this is where it means that we have to put down our pride and be willing to say, God, I need some more information here. Help me out. What do you think, D?
Amen, sir. Amen. I mean, he's our source, and we should go. He should be our first source, not our second choice. Pastor Williams, what do you say, sir?
Yeah. I'm going to say that prayer is a tool to be used as proactive and reactive. Proactive is just something that we're called to do. Men ought to always pray. We should never be found without a prayer. And, you know, life circumstances does not mean it's like we can pray every day and a life situation will come. And it will seem as like, if I've been praying all this time, I don't know that I can pray this time. And there's sometimes, you know, life battles get so strong that we know prayer is the answer, but if we find it difficult to do. There's a quote by Craig Groeschel that says, life's greatest breaking often leads to God's greatest blessings. And in those moments where we're going through rather a battle as men, you know, especially the weight of a watchman, man, that is serious all within itself. I mean, being a watchman on the wall, and the responsibility of our families and being the prayer warrior in our family. Most of the time, most men will say, well, my wife is the prayer warrior. You know, she's the one that's close. But, you know, men find it difficult to pray. But prayer doesn't necessarily, you know, I grew up in church, and prayer was a dedicated time, a dedicated space, and a dedicated place, right? But if we are to always pray, it doesn't matter where we are. And I think it's important for brothers in Christ that no matter where you are in life, where you are in your day, pray. If you find a moment where you don't have anything else to think of, that's a great time to connect with God. Lord, this, you know, I just need you here, need your guidance. You need your hand of provision. Prayer is a real battle. Sometimes we don't go after that first because we have the weight of the bills. You know, we're listening to our wives. They've got challenges going on. Our kids may have challenges, and there may be other things going on. But at the end of the day, God is always near. God is always near. And prayer is the thing that keeps us close to him. However, the enemy attacks us in our minds as if, like, you know, prayer is not an option. You know, so again, prayer is designed to be proactive, always doing, always in connection with God. And in our most difficult moments, it's also a tool that we must learn to use reactive. The last point that I'll say is, you know, as men, we can get caught in our feelings and our emotions too. You know, women aren't the only ones. We get caught in ourselves. That's where the anger and the rage comes from, is because we want a different outcome than what we're getting, and we don't see another way. You know, and even in leadership and church does not remove us from being, you know, having difficult times or days. I mean, you're pastoring congregations, you're working in the workplace, you may be a manager, you may be a supervisor, you may be a direct report. You can be in any of these areas, and it can be a challenging situation. But no matter what, prayer is, as Pastor Watkins said, it is the go-to weapon. It is a sign of our humility before God. God, I can't do this by myself. And it reminds us to trust in God and his ability and his sovereign authority and his almighty power, that we are never able to conquer anything alone, that everything that's conquered and done is through Jesus Christ. So that's my take on, you know, prayer and, you know, in the battle that it can be, but the victorious living that it rewards us with when we do it consistently.
Amen, sir. Amen. I appreciate you, and thank you for that. I pray, brothers, that you heard something today that would encourage you in your walk when it comes to humility, when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to us being in position. Again, Pastor Williams was saying, is that being a watchman on the wall is a great responsibility. We have the lives of people that we're looking at. We're looking out over the horizon of what's going on in this life, and we have to be prepared to warn and protect and defend our wives, our children, our families, our church family, as a congregation. We just stand in a place, as we talked about this in one of our other episodes, no matter where you are, I don't care how big your congregation is, I don't care if you've got 2,000, 3,000, 150, 25 members. We need men in the body of Christ to be men, to be in their place and position. Now, by salvation and our sanctification and our growth, we all grow at different levels and different places, but are we growing in the wisdom and the knowledge and the grace of God every day to get to the place where we can be used? You know, I always give the metaphor of the military. Everybody joins the military and everybody goes to boot camp. So we have a basic skill set of what to do to protect, defend, and fight. So if your salvation is just in us, it's the same thing. We should be able to pray. Prayer should be one of our basic things that we're taught. This is why it's important to have discipleship and be discipled. And men, I'm going to say this, and I always have saying it for a long time. Bible study is the place where you grow. You know, Bible study is the place where you can grow. Most ministries have a weekly Bible study. We're in the month of May, June. We'll be at 6 months. That's half of the year. Let's see, half of 52 is 26. Of the 26 Bible studies, how many have you made since the beginning of the year? It's a simple question. You know, are you committed to your local ministry? Are you committed to the vision and the mission of your local pastor? Because that's where men are needed, in the body of Christ, in the local congregations, that we need men in those places and spaces. Your salvation is not about you. Your salvation is about the body of Christ and the call on the body and the mission and the vision of the Christ. Remember, Jesus told us to go and make disciples, not members, not outreach, not feed people, not, he said, to make disciples and preach the gospel, preach his gospel. So what are we doing to do that? And as men, are you in the place where you should be? Where's your spiritual leader? The brother mentioned about, you know, oh, my wife is the prayer warrior in my house. You know what? If that's true, then you can tell me then your wife is the man of the house. All right, I lost some buzz. They already hung up the phone. Fine. That's why you stood there with me on the bar, and I still got people with me. Amen. But all right, there we go. I got some help. But again, we're here. This is a Christian mentor. We say that in jest, but I also want to say that in encouraging the brothers. You have to get in a place where God has called you. God called Adam and gave Adam instruction first. And we're in this position because of Adam. And then because of Adam, God sent a man to redeem us. So are we the priests, the pastors, leaders in our home? Are we taking that position when it comes to the body of Christ? And a lot of the things that's going on, again, we can only hold other men of God accountable to the word of God. We cannot and we should not be trying to hold sinners to the standard of the word of God. That's not what we're doing. What we do with unbelievers and sinners is we preach a gospel of repentance. We preach a gospel of obedience and that they might believe and be converted and transformed. I'm not going to hold the sinner man to the standard that I live by because he doesn't confess Christ and he does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. So I don't expect anything but him to sin. And I hopefully he do a good job of sin just as I did. I did a wonderful job of sin when I was sinning. Amen. But then when I repented and I came to myself and I put away childish things, I became a new man, a new creature. Amen. Elder Mark, I want you to give us your closing. You give us closing comments and close us out in prayer. Gentlemen, brothers, I appreciate y'all for coming on and spending this time with us and sharing your wisdom and insights. Again, brothers, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can go on our Facebook page, link to us, send us topic ideas, input, insights that you want to share. Again, we're live on Saturday mornings at 646-668-2636. You also can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the rebroadcast archive of this show and all of our past shows. We've been doing this for about 6 years. There's a lot of topics we talked about, a lot of things we discussed, and you can just sort through it all, randomly pick one, and I encourage you just to share. Amen? Again, men, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Love you. Elder Mark, you get the closing comment, and if you would, sir, close us out in prayer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To all those listening, once again, greetings from Issues Christian Men Talk. Just taking time to spend time to let men discuss and recognize who we are and whose we are. I pray that something was said today that would just take you to a place of revelation to lean upon God, not your own understanding. Just truly acknowledge the gentleman on the line, Pastor Larry Watkins, Pastor Williams, of course, Deacon Farr, for your ministry, for your work. God bless you all. I pray that the enemy will not have any backlash for what you shared and being open and transparent to share the word of God and continue to press on as you do, my brothers. Father God, we honor you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to discuss more of your word, to understand more of you and thus of ourselves, to call upon men, that we would walk in a life, Lord God, of representing who you are and whose we are, Lord God, who you called us to be. Give us a greater understanding each and every day, Lord God, that we can move through, Lord God, with revelation and discernment, Lord God, in our decisions, that we won't be the ones that would hurt our families by our decision-making processes. We won't be the ones that will destroy our bloodline because of the bad decisions, but we'll lean upon you, Father God, and trust you in all of our ways. We thank you for today, yesterday, and what you'll especially do tomorrow. We thank you for your blessings, your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness, as we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my name.